Stargate Voyager.
So in this episode, I want to share with you about an exciting new discovery that was made in Egypt really just several weeks ago that still I don't think a whole lot of people know about, and I find it quite fascinating. Then I want to tell you about a strange phenomenon that took place on top of the Great Pyramid in the year 1859. And then we will end this episode going to one of my favorite sites in Egypt that features some anomalies. And let me just say, these are not just ancient anomalies, but massive, gigantic artifacts that I believe pose a problem to the mainstream narrative of history in Egypt. And I hope that you also enjoyed my last episode, my last interview with ancient history researcher and author Matthew LaCroix regarding the ancient lost civilizations of Ararat. Matthew was dropping some bombs regarding his deep research into ancient Mesopotamia and reading all of the Assyrian tablets. And so definitely go back and watch that or listen to that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. The video version is always available on YouTube or Spotify if you want to watch my interviews or my episodes, because I always feature photos and videos overlaid with everything we're saying. So it's kind of a 3D interactive interview. And just two quick plugs before we jump into this week's topics. Again, if you're on YouTube or Instagram or even TikTok for that matter, check out the last short video or reel that I uploaded that shows this incredible video of a modern day ultrasonic transducer that's emitting this invisible standing wave pattern. And the scientist, you see his hand, he's placing in these small pieces of styrofoam, and you can see they're literally suspended in perfect vertical line in midair. And so I hypothesize that maybe this is just a glimpse of the ancient technology the ancients had to possibly move the megaliths. And then I show three scenes depicted at an ancient temple in Egypt that literally show the ancient Egyptians levitating stones. Pretty incredible. Check that out. Again, you can follow me on Instagram at Stargate Voyager or YouTube at Stargate Voyager and TikTok. I'm also on X, so you can see the video at any of those places. And being that we're talking about ancient Egypt today, I got to give one last shameless plug for our 2024 Egypt tour, May 8th through the 19th. Literally, this is the final call to join us. We're about to close registration as we got to finalize this trip. But again, it's May 8th through the 19th. Trust me when I say this might be one of the most epic Egypt tours you could ever find or go on. We have literally one of the world's best guides in Mohammed Ibrahim. We are going to see the very best of all ancient sites in Egypt, culminating in a private visit inside the Great Pyramid of Giza for 2 hours. We're going to have it all to ourselves. You are going to come away with a masterclass in Egyptian history. You're going to see the evidence of lost technology, and you're going to learn about these pre-Diluvian Egyptians, we call them, that we believe built the pyramids circa 10,000 BC or earlier. Compared to a lot of other tour packages out here, this one's priced very competitively at $4,900, and you can get $200 off that by using code EGYPT2024. And this might be the last time we can ever keep the price under $5,000, because since the pandemic, prices are soaring in Egypt now, so next year it's going to be a lot more. So lock it in. This tour includes virtually everything. All you got to do is get yourself to the Cairo airport. We pick you up. Almost all the meals are included, all lodging, all transportation, all tickets, all tour guides. It is going to be epic. I hope to see you there. Go to stargatevoyager.com/tours for all the info. So literally just about a month ago, a fascinating new discovery was unearthed from under the sands of time in Egypt. It's a massive box weighing approximately 62 tons, and it was discovered in an area of land that had been appropriated for the construction of a hospital. And this is located about 30 miles north of Cairo in the Giza pyramids. And if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, you're going to see images of this massive box. Now, some reports state that this box is made of quartz. To me, it appears that it actually might be limestone. Now, it's kind of crazy how this discovery was made. They were doing construction for this hospital that was going to be built on this piece of land. And they were doing the foundation work. And that's when somebody noticed, you know what, there might be some artifacts down here. And so the Supreme Council of Antiquities, otherwise known as the SCA, was notified. And they swept in with what's being dubbed as a literal rescue operation and of this artifact, because it would have been certainly destroyed. And they swept in and unearthed this giant artifact. Now, according to Egyptian law, this Supreme Council, or SCA, they have authority to inspect any new construction sites in order to ensure the area is free of antiquities before the construction work commences. And according to Mustafa Waziri, Secretary General of the SCA, the process of transporting this 62-ton megalith was done while observing the highest of standards, which included what they call mechanical cleaning and reinforcement of both the box and its lid. And this artifact has since been transported to the Antiquities Department, where it is undergoing a restoration. But the main photo I feature of this is just incredible, showing this absolutely massive crane trying to lift this 62-ton box from the earth. And you see these workers standing around, and they literally look like ants next to this box. Now, due to an inscription found underneath the lid, the mainstream assumption is that this so-called sarcophagus belonged to a high-ranking official of the 26th dynasty, which would have been about 600 BC. Now, while it may have been tagged and repurposed as a sarcophagus by this dynastic era official, my biggest question is, was this box originally crafted to be a sarcophagus? Could it have had an entirely different purpose? Might it actually be much older than 600 BC? I say that because this box is unique in that it features some strange protruding nubs on its long side or its wide side. Almost every other box like this has nubs on the short side only, which is very interesting. And lastly, this box appears to be very similar in size and scale and weight to the very mysterious black boxes located in the subterranean Serapeum of Saqqara, which I've done other episodes on. And these Serapeum boxes seem to present so many problems to the mainstream narrative that states that they too are crafted by the dynastic Egyptians. Again, the dynastic Egyptians emerged about 3000 BC, and they lasted till about 30 BC. And some of these problems for the mainstream narrative would be as follows. Just one of these 100-ton granite black boxes would need an army of thousands of men to transport them down under the ground into these tight tunnels. Yet there is only a couple feet on either side of the box in each enclosure. So how could such a vast army set it into place? Now, what's more, the granite that they are made of ranks between a 7 and 8 on the Mohs scale of hardness, which I talked often about. But according to the archaeological record, the dynastic Egyptians only possessed copper chisels and hammers, which rank about a 3 or 4 on the Mohs scale. So there's no way that copper can precision shape granite like that. Also, the mainstream narrative says that, well, these were simply boxes that housed sacred bulls. However, our Egyptian guide, Muhammad Ibrahim, who's also an Egyptologist and author, he theorizes that these boxes didn't house literal bulls, but symbolic bulls. The bull is the bull of Taurus, and the ancient Egyptians really held meteorites to be sacred. He believes that these boxes are super ancient and were built by these pre-Diluvian ancient Egyptians of at least 10,000 BC, and that these actually housed meteorites from Taurus. So the million-dollar question is, were these precision boxes made with the lost technology, and they are from a much earlier civilization that existed before some kind of worldwide cataclysm that literally stopped the construction in their tracks? Because you can see some of these boxes are literally left in the hallway, like they were being transported out or down, however it works. They were literally stopped. There's one or two literally in these long hallways that were literally half made, just stuck in transport almost. So again, was this new box that was discovered, was there something similar going on with it? Because it's got a lid as well that's probably 20 tons and a base that's probably about 40 or 50 tons. I'm really excited to be interviewing author Christopher Dunn in a few weeks regarding his newest book on the ancient pyramids. And his new book is about the Tesla connection. And in his book, he shares a fascinating account from 1859 that I wrote a blog post about and actually created a video on this as well. But in this episode, I just wanted to recount this strange story because I found it so fascinating. So standing on top of the Great Pyramid during a sandstorm in 1859, German inventor and engineer Sir William Siemens could suddenly hear, quote, a remarkable hissing noise. Now, Siemens noticed that when one of his Arab guides lifted his outstretched finger above his head, he could hear this sharp hissing sound. And he noticed that as soon as the guide would lower his hand, the sound or singing noise would go away. And who knows, maybe the Arab guy was directing people or calling another guide over, and Siemens just happens to notice when he raises his hand, this sharp singing noise arose, and when the hand went down, it disappeared. So Siemens then raised his own finger and felt a, quote, prickling sensation, which he deduced to be the result of some kind of electrical phenomenon. Again, remember that Siemens is a German inventor and he's an engineer. So I think he knows a little bit of something about electricity. Now, according to the account, soon after is attempting to enjoy a drink of wine from his bottle when he feels a slight electrical shock go through his body. Man, these guys were going up the Great Pyramid and they're bringing some wine. They're just wanting to have a good old time and enjoy the sights from the world's greatest wonder, the Great Pyramid. Then, in a moment of inspired ingenuity, Siemens fashioned the wine bottle into a rudimentary Leyden jar, which he charged by holding it aloft, producing, quote, loud crackling sparks. Now, a Leyden jar is an electrical component that stores a high voltage electrical charge between electrical conductors on the inside and outside of a glass jar. It typically consists of a glass jar with metal foil cemented to the inside and the outside surfaces, and a metal terminal projecting vertically through the jar lid to make contact with the inner foil. This was the original form of a capacitor. The Leyden jar was used to conduct many early experiments in electricity, going back to the late 1700s. So Siemens had the knowledge and had enough materials to make a poor man's version of this Leyden jar. Now here's where the story gets fascinating. Again, according to reports, it was a blustery day on the Great Pyramids. There was a sandstorm ensuing, and suddenly the Arab guides that are leading Siemens and his men, they see this scene taking place. And they believe that the static electricity that they are seeing come out of the bottle is the result of, quote, magic, which they rightfully so thought could possibly damage the pyramid. And so they requested that Siemens and his men leave. I guess you can't really blame the guards. They're just trying to do their job, right? However, Siemens refuses to go. Next thing you know is one of the tour guides is grabbing Siemens and attempting to forcibly remove him. And maybe looking back, that wasn't the smartest thing for this guy to do to what's probably a stubborn old German inventor. So feeling provoked, demons felt that he had no other option than to use the wine bottle as an electrical weapon. And so he basically points it at his attacker and literally taps him on the nose with it. And Seaman said that when he did, he felt a strong, quote, concussion, and noted that the guide must have had a much more, quote, violent shock, because the guide, guess what? He fell to the ground. And then several seconds later, the guide springs up to his feet, howling in pain, and scurried all the way down the pyramid. And that is the strange electrical phenomenon of 1859 on top of the Great Pyramid. Again, you can go to my social media, Instagram, YouTube, X, TikTok, to see the video version I made of this, and be looking forward to my interview with author Christopher Dunn coming soon, where I'm going to ask him about this electrical phenomenon as it relates so much to his new book. And we're going to dive deep into the true purpose of the Great Pyramids and how he believes they were harvesting electrons. All right, and last but not least, I want to take you to what I call Egypt's 1,000-ton twin titans of mystery. So featured near Luxor, Egypt, are what are known as the Colossi of Memnon. These are twin statues that each stand 60 feet tall. They're like multiple-story buildings. These things are so massive, and they were crafted originally from one solid piece of quartzite each. And again, they each weigh approximately 1,000 tons. That's the equivalent of 33 school buses. Now, the quarry where this red quartzite was extracted, guess what, is from Cairo, over 6 hours away by car. Again, that little detail right there is so mind-blowing. It's not like they just grabbed some local stone right where these statues are standing. No, they wanted specific stone. They wanted red quartzite, which is only found near Cairo, over 6 hours away by car. How did they transport these massive blocks that far? Again, if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, you're going to see the photos of these megaliths. And you can see that both statues have been severely damaged, especially the statue on the right side, which has seen major restoration work just to hold it together. And you can clearly see on the one on the right side how the head, the chest, and the left arm of the statue have been almost completely rebuilt in later times. So the one on the right looks quite different from the one on the left, which for the most part, other than severe erosion, you can still see how it was made from one piece. Now, the mainstream narrative states that these statues were constructed about 1350 BC in the time of Pharaoh Amenhotep III, and once stood at the front of the mortuary temple of Amenhotep III, which was the largest temple in the Theban necropolis. Again, the mainstream narrative states that this temple was destroyed by Nile River flooding. However, this does not explain why the temple seems to have literally been blown apart and incinerated to where you can hardly even see traces of a massive temple behind where it would have stood from these statues. I mean, you see the statues and you can see some other little statues behind it and ruins, but it's literally, if there was a temple behind there, it's like it was incinerated. The Nile flooding is not going to make an entire temple just disappear. So that begs the bigger question, what really happened at this site? Our Egyptian tour guide, Mohammed Ibrahim, again, author and Egyptologist as well, theorizes that this temple was actually laid waste around 10,000 BC during this time of cataclysmic solar disasters and flooding, and that this also probably explains the severe damage done to these statues. I definitely side with Muhammad on this one, and I believe that these statues depict a much earlier Golden Age civilization and were engineered using lost technology. I believe these were, as Muhammad would say, the pre-Diluvian ancient Egyptians that were a part of an earlier cycle of civilization way before the dynastic Egyptians of 3000 BC. And again, what's remarkable is when you look at these statues, we get a glimpse of who these ancients were and what they looked like. They were the ones that had these elaborate headdresses and wore these skirts. So it's like the dynastic Egyptians that came along later were continuing their look and taking on their appearance. Now, when you see these photos, you can still see on these statues, although they are super ancient, you can still see insane muscle tone on both the statue's knees and legs. It literally, like a laser, was 3D printing these. Notice the precision detail on the skirts. And all over the bottom half of the statues, you can see these 3D, deeply embedded precision 3D symbols that are far superior to the graffiti-like hieroglyphs that seem to have been scratched into the statues at a later time, which I think is likely what Amenhotep III did to claim these titans as his own. Now, many of these graffiti-like writings on these statues, they're Roman-era inscriptions in Greek and Latin dated to between AD 20 and AD 250. And many of these inscriptions make references to the Greek mythological king Memnon, whom the statues were then thought to represent by these the Greeks of the day, hence the name, the Colossi of Memnon. Which again, right there, today they're known as the Colossi of Memnon because of Greek inscriptions that we know came way after the dynastic Egyptians. So right there we have total proof of later civilizations reclaiming these and renaming these. So if they're known as the Colossi of Memnon today because of Roman era and Greek inscriptions around AD 20 to 250, why does that make us think that the other earlier hieroglyphs etched in during the time of Amenhotep III were the original inscriptions of the builders? And as I mentioned earlier, this material came from over 400 miles away near Cairo. So how did the ancients transport two 1,000-ton pieces of stone that far? And again, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, that's easy. They just threw them on boats on the Nile. But again, I would come back with, stop and consider how an army of thousands of men could realistically transport the 1,000-ton stone block on and off the boat, let alone over a vast desert from the Nile to its resting place. And to further prove this point, check out Jimmy Corsetti's social media channels. He posted at the time of this video I'm making, he recently posted a video of the world's brand new, most elite, largest Komatsu excavator. This thing is so massive, and the largest weight that it can lift is, guess what? 100 tons. Again, when you see the humans next to this thing, they look like ants. This excavator is so massive and strong, yet with our greatest technology, it can only lift 100 tons. How would the ancient Egyptians have lifted, moved, and put in place these 1,000-ton statues? Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, do me a favor and share it with somebody or share it on your social media channels, and hopefully together we can awaken more minds. And until next time, keep exploring.